When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
All right, happy Monday, everyone. This is the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. Today we've got Nikki, we've got Dan, I'm Adam. Hello to both of you. Nikki, how are you? It's been a while since we talked, I think. Has it been at least a week?
I was literally on last week, Adam. What do you mean it's been a while? I was here last week. We recapped the Masters. What are you talking about?
It's not often enough, is what my point.
Okay, well, hello, I'm here.
We've had a new Taylor Swift album come out, so Nikki's been busy.
Right.
She's been doing a lot. Yeah, I am. I've hunkered down. I've had 31 new songs to listen to and digest and try to learn the lyrics to, and that's a lot of words. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one thing I'm grateful for today, it is that that woman does not know how to shut the hell up.
So, she talks a lot. Yeah, she's got a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah.
I have a couple questions on that real quick, but Dan, how are you? I see your Panthers hat. How are you feeling about the playoffs?
Yesterday was good. I have secured my ticket, so I will be in arena tomorrow night for game two. Hopefully, game two goes the same way game one did, because last year my record attending Panthers playoffs games was 0-for. So we're going to find out really quickly this year if I'm going to only one game or if I will be going to more than one, because a loss tomorrow night will I'm not going to tempt fate anymore after that. I'll just stay at home from that point. But excited for the game tomorrow night, and playoff hockey time, best time of the year.
Yeah, playoff hockey is a great, great time. I wouldn't know in Chicago, but I'm going to live vicariously.
I wouldn't know in Atlanta.
Except for all the years that the Blackhawks were winning Stanley Cup championships, Adam. Well, but, you know, we don't.
True.
You know.
That's true. That's true. Those were the good old days. Kaner. Anyway, Nikki on the Tortured Poets department. There's a lot of chatter. And so I was not awake when they dropped. My understanding is that there was a 2-hour break between the two. Was that a surprise?
Yeah. So I had gone to a concert, one of my favorite bands from college, Augustana, who I had, we haven't seen them in like 15 years. But it was a great show. And we had timed it perfectly to where like we were getting back in my car at midnight. And so like hit play, listen to the whole album, like took my sweet time on the way home, driving back roads so I can listen to the whole thing. And by the time I like got home, washed my face, get in the bed, listen to the whole album, I'm like, I did it. Great. Go to bed. And then I wake up in the morning and I had like 6 text messages from our friend Samantha Marks. Wake up. What the heck? What is going on? A double album? Oh my God. All the twos. We were right. I mean, freaking out. And I was like, well, okay, I guess I have 15 more songs to listen to. So yeah, I was shocked, but also kind of bummed, because I was like, man, if I had just stayed awake for like a little bit longer, I could have just listened to all of them. But yeah, it was great.
I have a very serious Taylor Swift related question about this album.
Ooh.
Was that a Kadarius Toney diss track?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm still like trying to interpret all of the things and waiting on other smarter Swifties to interpret all the things and then just tell them to me so I can go, okay.
Makes sense. It was a very musical Monday that day. The Pearl Jam album came out as well. I know our mutual friend Chris McEwen loved that. I love the album too. I'm not as big of a Pearl Jam fan as he is, but you know, certainly
another album that's hard to understand.
Very mumbly. Yeah. Definitely. It's interesting because, you know, we had
not a bad Eddie Vedder impression.
Thank you.
Good, actually.
Thank you.
Pretty good. The what did my brother-in-law called it? The tortured pearl department or something. They were trying to combine do the Barbenheimer thing. But you know, look, it is what it is. Two different genres, but a lot of overlap in fan base. And so for those listening that like both of those bands, which most of us on this call do, really, really cool week. But we also had a really cool week in terms of golf, which, you know, this is a golf podcast at times, allegedly. And so we had a lot to talk about in regard to Nelly Korda, of course, and then Scottie Scheffler. These two, I mean, there's a lot that's been said across the podcast landscape already, guys. But let's start with Nelly. Five in a row. I mean, ridiculous. Her second major, she closed out at the Chevron. I mean, Nikki, did you have the chance to watch any of it other than maybe even just on social? It was just an incredible, like, there was no doubt whatsoever that she was going to pull this off.
Yeah, I got to see a little bit of the tail end of it. And when she was saying, like, I think she said in her interview afterwards that, like, the back nine, she was kind of struggling a little bit. And which is funny because that's the only really part of it that I got to see. And I was like, what, where was she struggling? Like, what, if that's her struggling? Like, what? yeah, but it was just incredible to see, like, and that's what I don't understand about people. And I know we'll get to Scotty in a minute too, but this is one thing that I just don't understand about people saying that, like, that they're bored of seeing Scotty win. And like, I haven't thankfully heard anyone say that they're bored of Nelly winning yet, but like how, like, yeah. It's just so, nobody said they were bored when Tiger was winning that many times. Like, it's just mind blowing to me that somebody can just continue to be not just win, but win that dominantly. Like, it's just, it's wild.
Yeah, it really is. Dan, your takeaways from watching Nelly doing what she was doing. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was pretty cool. We went out to watch party to watch the Panthers game yesterday and obviously got there early because wasn't sure what kind of crowd was going to be there. And so it was before they changed all the TVs over and put the sound on and whatnot for the game. But they did actually have on the LPGA event for a little bit. So I was able to, you know, I saw a ton of stuff, obviously everything got posted on social throughout the weekend, but I was actually able to watch a little bit of that final round yesterday. Before they changed the TVs over. And in fact, even after the game started, they did keep one on one of the TVs on it for a little while, which once again, I think just goes to show the Nelly effect, so to say. And the women's sports revolution effect, I think even more so when you talk about Caitlin Clark too, because you had both NBA and NHL playoffs going on at the same time down here locally yesterday because the Heat were playing at the same time up in Boston. And one TV for a good amount of time did stay on the women's golf event. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. I guess you could call what she's doing boring in the same way you could call what Scotty's doing boring, but it's not boring. It's just utter and pure domination. And like Nikki said, I don't think anyone was calling it boring when Tiger was just never losing. I think that's what got an entire generation of people into golf. So, I don't think that it's necessarily bad for the game. If anything, I'm hoping that this boring domination that we're seeing from Nelly right now will actually get more people interested and the networks will hear that interest or see that interest and start putting LPGA Tour on in better time slots. Cause right now it's still just getting the scraps when it comes to TV priority and it shouldn't. And so hopefully this will now slow much in the same way that Caitlin Clark helped get women's college basketball games put in more prime time and in front of more eyes. Hopefully what Nelly's doing now will do the same for the women's game. Cause for all the people complaining about how much men's professional golf sucks right now because of all the infighting, like women's professional golf is exactly what we all want as far as just pure golf. And so it needs to be put on TV more.
It does. It's never good when you turn on Golf Channel on the Sunday of a major and they're not even playing the round. They're playing a tape delay or a whatever of a other men's tournament. I don't understand it. And it's one of those things where you bring up Caitlin Clark, obviously, you know, look, I'll be honest. I'll speak for myself. I didn't watch a lot of college women's basketball prior to Caitlin Clark. I mean, every so often I bring it on or put it on rather, but what she did, and it was one of those things, perhaps maybe it's kind of the Tiger Woods effect a little bit, because you both brought that up too. Was it so different that it brought eyeballs to the game? And in Tiger's case, of course, there was a lot of differences that we hadn't seen before for all the reasons that we've talked about and people know about. But also with Caitlin, it was a matter of, oh my goodness, she's shooting from half court. She's putting up 40 a game. You know, there's all this stuff that we hadn't seen before. And now with Nelly, 5 in a row, it almost seems automatic. Does it take that level of generational talent to bring eyeballs to a sport?
Well, Nikki, I mean, what do you think? Think about possibly, because think about tennis. Think about the Williams sisters, you know, yes, like Billie Jean King changed the game of tennis forever. She brought eyeballs to tennis and to women's tennis and brought like awareness to women's tennis. But until the Williams sisters came around, I think that's what changed the...
Hi, Strider.
That's what changed the perspective and the perception of tennis. And that's what changed, like, that's what got more ticket sales. And that's what got the, like, tennis is cool. And tennis is like fun to watch and fun to root for. And like, tickets became more expensive and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it took somebody like Serena Williams to do that. And she's a generational talent. Same with Tiger Woods, you know, like it, you weren't and Michael Jordan, like you weren't, I mean, yeah, basketball was a huge sport, but like, think about the shoe sales. Think about the, I mean, it, I don't know. I think what we're seeing with women's basketball, like, to be honest, basketball is probably my least favorite sport of any of the sports. And I have watched more basketball in the past 2 years than I think I ever have. I mean, that's men's and women's, but still, like, that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm. It moves the needle. I mean, Dan, I mean, is this a matter of, this is the best time in the social media, you know, world landscape for this to happen? For this greatness to come on. I mean, I guess what I'm really asking is, had Nelly won 5 in a row 10 years ago, or even, what was it, 20 years ago when Annika did it? I mean, I don't remember it getting as much attention as perhaps Nelly might get now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously social media is definitely going to play a factor in it. You know, you brought up something interesting too. I've never watched much of any women's college basketball. I've never watched a single WNBA game. I'm going to change that this upcoming year. I will be watching WNBA games just because of the sheer amazingness of what Caitlin Clark does on a basketball court. And it's unfortunate that my mind even went there. And I think that we are closer to going away from this line of thinking than we have been in the past. But it feels to me like when we start, not we, us, but we as a whole, as a society, start to take women's sports more seriously is when someone comes along, whether it was the Williams sisters in tennis, what Caitlin Clark's doing now in women's basketball, what Nelly Korda is doing on the golf course. And it takes that woman athlete who you watch her and you think to yourself, wow, she's better than the guys. Like, she could beat the guys. And Annika did it to an extent. And we saw that with Michelle Wee too, that kind of got a little bit of a uptick in women's golf to that point. But I think as a society that and it may be subconscious, but I honestly think that people just view it as such different levels as far as competition and athleticism wise, when it shouldn't be. But it seems like it takes that female athlete who's quote unquote, better than the guys to come along and do things that you would see guys normally doing, but not necessarily the women doing. And then all of a sudden it's, everyone's like, oh wow, this is okay. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch this. And then you get this situation where more people watch the women's basketball, college basketball national championship than the men's game this year. And Iowa women's basketball games were routinely doing better numbers than, you know, the blue bloods of the men's game, you know, Duke, Carolina and all those teams and whatnot. I mean, the women's Final Four put up better numbers than anything in this country other than NFL games in the past calendar year. So, and that's not an accident. It's because Caitlin Clark's that good. But hopefully as we continue to go on and on, it will be the norm and all these female athletes will be the Caitlin Clarks instead of it being only one. And then it will be, okay, they're all this good. And we're just going to watch it like, and not treat it any differently. It's just another golf tour. It's another basketball league. It's not women's basketball. It's not women's golf. It's just golf and basketball. And so I think once that happens, I think these conversations will slowly start to fade away because it won't be such a surprise anymore. It'll just be the norm in the same way that it is for everything else.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day when it is just basketball or golf or whatever, you know. You guys both know I'm married to an ex athlete, an ex collegiate athlete. And, you know, I'm sure she has definitely got some opinions on the entire thing. And she is so happy. My wife, of course, Kristen, about all of this. And, you know, when we sit and to your point, Dan, well, we were at a bar too. I forgot what we were doing, drinking, but we were at a bar and they had all the TVs on, you know, Nelly. And then even during the NCAAs, they had Caitlin on. And, you know, that just seems like right now it feels more natural. It's starting to feel more natural, you know, or at least more frequent. And that's such a good thing to see because there's so many great athletes that just haven't gotten the attention they deserve. And I know, you know, we don't have to get too deep into the salary differences, the pay differences. You know, Nelly with winning the Chevron, her second major, it being a major, she made $1.2 million in the winner's purse, which still is about $2 million less than what Scottie Scheffler made for winning the Masters. Now, granted, this is still incredible amounts of money. Yeah. And there's still that whole thing, a matter of, all right, well, we need bigger purses for these tournaments. Definitely. I'm sure the social media warriors will remind us, well, there's a reason why they're not getting as much sponsorship dollars. Yes, we understand how that all works. It doesn't mean that it's fair. And so this is something that I think as fans have a lot of power here, we can begin to feel more in tune with what's happening on our TV screens and tune in to those TV screens, watching Nelly Korda do what she needs to do. And Nikki, as we talk a little bit more about, you know, the parallels between what Scottie Scheffler's doing, as we kind of transition to him too, with what Nelly's doing. I mean, these are two of the best generational athletes in their respective sport that we've seen in a very long time. A man near and dear to our mutual hearts, Tiger Woods, you know, changed a lot for the sport of men's professional golf. Is this something that we are going to be able to hold Scottie and Nelly to their own standard, or are we going to just naturally try to compare to what we saw with Tiger in terms of buzz and popularity?
I mean, well, first of all, they're already, like you say, their own standard. People are already not giving Nelly her own standard. They're already trying to put her and Scottie together. It's like they can't just let Nelly have her own record. It's like, And I get why. I do. I get why, because they're both winning a lot at the same time. And so it's like, let's show how much they're both winning, compare how much they're both winning. But like, let's not forget, Scottie had a tied for second in there, like in his record. Like he didn't have just a straight run. And not to take away from what Scottie is doing. Scottie is still doing incredible. But like, I've seen several posts floating around being like, oh, let's look at their comparative past, you know, wins. And it's like, first, tied for second, first. And it's like, that tied for second does not apply to Nelly. Stop trying to compare the two of them together like that. And so they're already not giving her own standard. They're mushing the two together. And so then when it comes to Scotty, they're not letting him do that when it comes to him and Tiger either. Like, and that's one thing. I get that sports analysts, sports data people, they love to pull numbers. They love to compare any possible number that can compare to another and create a stat out of it. Swifties do the same thing. We try to make anything relate that we possibly can to try and figure out when is reputation going to drop? When is the next like album going to come out? When is it going to be a double album? What does this lyric mean? Who is this related to? Like we love to pull any sort of stat that we can, but sports people do that too, to try and make a stat that sometimes is there, sometimes it isn't. But can we not just like let them be what they are? Like let Nelly have 5 wins in a row. Let Scotty have 4 wins in a row with a tied for second in there after what was it? Mm-hmm. I think it's 6 wins with a tied for second or something if you throw that in. But yeah, like let them just be what they are. And yeah, Scotty's doing really well. He's on a like trajectory that we haven't seen since Tiger, but do we have to constantly put the numbers up there? Like, just let's see where he goes. Let's see where he goes. You know, let Tiger's records stand for what they are too. You know, I don't know. That's one thing that I'm like, sometimes the numbers that people pull out and try and compare are just so out there to me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there, Dan.
We can't truly, truly put anything behind any of these tournaments because Taylor Gooch didn't play in them. So
fair. That's a good
point. Sorry. Exactly. Asterisks for everybody.
Mizuno Golf returns as another sponsor for the Golf Unfiltered podcast for 2024. We have really enjoyed partnering with Mizuno Golf because, let's face it, nothing feels like a Mizuno, and this holds true for every product in their arsenal, including their woods, irons, wedges, and anything that you put in your bag. Mizuno has long been known for their high quality and high performance, and we want to bring that to our games, and you should too. Go out to MizunoGolf.com right now to learn more about all their new products as well as how they can improve your game today. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Sharp Focus Nutrition brings everything that you need to keep playing your best from a nutritional standpoint while you're on the course. Let's face it, we probably don't eat and drink the best when we're playing golf, especially on the weekends with our buddies when we're just out there to kill some time. The folks over at Sharp Focus Nutrition have developed a step-by-step nutritional system that you can implement into your game right now to play your best. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn a little bit more. The Golf Unfiltered podcast is supported by our friends at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Located in Lamont, Illinois, Cog Hill features 4 challenging courses, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They also boast one of the best golf academies in the state, featuring top tracer analytics at their driving range, heated bays, 2 bars, and so much more. Cog Hill has been a longtime sponsor of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and we are pleased to work with them once again in 2024. Go visit their website at coghillgolf.com right now to book your tee time.
I mean, but to that end though, too, Dan, I mean, it's an interesting thing. And Nikki very well said, we do have a tendency as a whole of always wanting to compare and, you know, to Scotty's credit and Nelly's too, for that matter. I mean, they've taken a lot of this with grace. I actually read No Laying Up, there was a really good article written by Kevin Van Valkenburg about Nelly Korda and how in her instance, you know, there was a lot of talk about the weight of the world, you know, this phrase that gets thrown around a lot, and how she is really this very private person and she likes her bubble. And we're hearing this a lot of, you know, these uber successful athletes too, and not just athletes, actors, musicians, whatever, but she has this ability to kind of shut things out and just stay within her bubble. But like you had said, Nikki, in the beginning, she had mentioned how she wasn't playing well in that final round. She even in her post-round interview said that she was really nervous on the back nine because it's almost like we're seeing this human side where, you know what, there's this weight of the world on somebody's shoulders. They understand it. They get it. They still have to go and perform. Caitlin Clark said all the same stuff too, by the way, another comparison. But it's almost as if that separates the great from the very good, the recognition, and let me get your thoughts on this too, the recognition of the moment and knowing what it could possibly mean if they succeed is one thing, but the second thing is actually going and doing that thing.
What was it?
There are very few people that do it.
Last week that was like, if I let myself I'm going to butcher this. If I let myself think about it, then I won't.
If I worry about what might not happen, I allow myself to dream of how it could go well or something along those lines. God, we are butchering this.
It was something like if I worry about what may not happen, then I can't dream about what will happen or something.
Yeah.
It was a good
like mindset that these players have. And it's something that Scotty just does so naturally. It seems it comes out, you know, he talked a lot about his faith. He talked a lot about what drives him. And he had this clean slate mentality going into Sunday at Augusta, where he almost didn't have that worry creep in. And I found that to be very interesting in comparison to the major that Nelly just won, where she actually allowed herself to be human and said, you know what? Yeah, I was really worried. So I find that to be almost more easily connecting, or it's easier for me to connect to with Nelly. It's like, yeah, I'm human. I got really worried. I mean, I don't know. I said a lot there, but did you find the quote, Nikki?
Yeah, if I catch myself thinking about what can go wrong, I let myself dream about what can go right.
Yeah, it's just a really cool.
We were all ruining that a lot.
Sorry, Max.
Yeah, sorry. We'll tag you. Correct us next time. But yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth behind that. I mean, I don't know, Nikki. I mean, we followed these greats throughout golf, at least, and then of all these other names that we like to throw around on the podcast, both inside and outside of golf. I mean, does it take a little bit of opening the door to that humanity for us to connect to these people like Nelly?
I mean, yeah, like here's to go back to another thing that Max had said from the Masters. Like, I always think about, like, you mentioned like separating the good from the great, you know, and I always think about Tiger in those instances and like how the mentality that Tiger had and had to have moving forward to be great. And Max was talking about how on Friday, how bad the wind was and how they were just getting like absolutely annihilated by the sand for like 45 seconds. And he just looks over and Tiger's just standing there like a statue, and that the right. sand is just like blowing and like everybody else is, you know, covering their eyes and stuff. And the Tiger's just standing there and it was like the coolest thing ever. And like, I just think about that mentality and how like so few people have that, like, and yeah. And even Max, who is one of the great ones out there, and how he was saying like, there's no way I was going to be doing that. Like, I was covering my eyes, I was cowering, and like how much that separates the two of them. And I think there's a level of like, you're a good player. I think there's a level of you're a great player. And then I think there's a level of you're like what we're calling like the goats, you know? And I think, I think there's a separate mentality even between like the greats and the goats. Like, there's some switch in there that makes your brain a little bit different between like Tom Brady and Matt Ryan, unfortunately. Like, that's just, there's something different.
That was very big of you.
It was. I know. It was. Especially considering literally 15 minutes ago, he had announced his official retirement. So.
Oh, Matt Ryan did?
Yeah.
No, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, literally, as we hit record, it came up on my notifications.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Jeez. Dan, how do you separate the greats from the just okays or the goods?
Hey, wait a minute. That's not what I said. I did not say that Matt Ryan.
No, I know. She did not say that. No. That
he's
Matt Ryan was damn good. Matt Ryan
not
was
a goat.
Really damn good.
Like,
no. You know, it's going to sound cliche, but I feel like the answer to that is championships. I mean, it's. I hate that I say it because I hate those people that are like, oh, well, how many rings do they win? Zero? Well, then they can't be that good. Because, I mean, you could make the argument that Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks and will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of football, and obviously does not have a ring to show for it. But when his name gets brought up, the first thing people always say is he didn't win a ring. So,
it's Greg Norman.
Yeah. Well, he didn't win a green jacket. It's another cliche too, though, but I think that if you know what you're watching, when you know, like you, it's the reason why, I mean, Caitlin Clark, for example, did not win a championship this year. So she is going to finish her collegiate career without a ring. I don't think there's anyone on this planet that watches basketball that would say that she's not one of the greatest female college basketball players of all time. She didn't get a ring. The ring didn't really matter. It's because watching her and you see the things that she is doing and nobody has done it before. And it's just, it's the wow factor. And that at the end of the day, that plays in too, because especially in sports, you don't always get to control where you go play. And yeah, I mean, you get drafted, you don't get to control where you get drafted, and not everyone makes it to that second contract where they can be a free agent and then pick where they want to go. And then even where you pick where you want to go, I mean, you think about this run that the Patriots went on for 20 years, right? If you happen to be a player that was like, I'm going to go to the Patriots because I'll go to the Patriots and win a ring, and you happen to sign with them for one of the few years that they didn't win a ring, you still didn't, you know what I mean? You can't control where you go play and what happens during a year as you play. So,
don't know what that was. Sorry about that. Okay. I'll cut that out. No, but you're right about the Patriots.
So part of it obviously is championships, but I think there are plenty of guys who are average players in their career that won a ton of rings because they just happen to be on the right team at the right time. But I think there is that wow factor too. If you're watching somebody play and your reaction is just, wow, I can't believe they're doing this. That is a surefire indicator that they are at a level, above the rest.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that hits the nail on the head. And what I was trying to show on the screen, because you had said Greg Norman, Nikki, was what Claire put, the tortured golfers department. It's so fitting. Such a great little tidbit. She's so good. I mean, I think, you know, the championship argument is an interesting one, because I'm like you, Dan. I mean, I don't love the, you know, how many rings did you know, but because I understand what you were saying, and I agree with that. It's also a matter of, you know, with like Scotty and Nelly, they're putting together their resume in real time right now. And I think when I think back about Tiger Woods, I wish I could go back and realize the moment we were in. And I'm not saying that Nelly and Scotty are going to win as many times as Tiger did, but you know, Nikki, to your point about everyone wanting to find the next GOAT, you know, this is a time where I think we can sit back and just let it unfold and appreciate every moment that we see about this thing, because I don't know when we're going to see something like this again with it already, like right now. And we're still very young or early into what could be really, really great for these two players. Did you have something?
Yeah. Well, so here's another point too, that I just thought about, and this one will hit home with you, Adam. So I think a lot of it also depends on your time period when you're playing, who else is playing with you. You look at the NBA in the mid-90s, right? The NBA in the mid-90s was littered with Hall of Famers. Basically, every team had 2 to 3 Hall of Famers on their roster. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have Michael Jordan. And so none of them won a championship because they were going up against Michael Jordan. And, you know, you had those few years when he retired and everything. And then other guys were able to kind of come in and win their rings. But, I mean, you think it's a laundry list of first ballot NBA Hall of Famers that never got their ring because they had to play with Jordan.
Charles Barkley.
You know, just to name a few. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, you know, the entire Utah Jazz team is basically in the Hall of Fame now, and they got nothing to show. You know what I mean? So it's just so I think a lot of it does factor in. And it goes back to the things you can't control. For everyone else playing on the LPGA Tour right now, they can't control the fact that Nelly's on a all-time heater that we've never seen before. Doesn't mean that they're any less good of golfers and that they couldn't win any given week, but they're just going up against Nelly Korda, who can't lose right now. You know, that doesn't diminish what they do. It's just luck of the draw.
Isn't it? I'm going to mess this up. Isn't it Lydia Ko right now that she's one win away from being in the Hall of Fame? She just has to win one more to be in the Hall of Fame. And like, she can't get it done because Nelly keeps winning. And so, we're not talking about, just another major. We're talking about any win. And she's in the Hall of Fame. But she can't do it because Nelly keeps winning. That's wild to me. We're, I mean, at some point, it's you just take one for the team and let your
lay down the bunt, man. Come on. Yeah, I breaking news too. I saw this come across my Apple News. Speaking of tortured athletes, Zach Wilson getting traded from the Jets to the Broncos.
Sure.
Why not? Oh, there's a lot of jokes there that I'm going to leave alone. But Nikki, I saw that you added something to the.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that you wish you could go back to like relive the Tiger days and like you wish you knew. That you were.
That's, I love that quote. That's such a good quote.
I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you actually left them.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, sure. I think a lot of us are like that. Like none of us knew what we were watching when we were watching it. You know, I think at least at first, I think once it got to like, man, this guy's got 12, like PGA, PGA Tour mm-hmm. wins. Like this is crazy, you know? And then it got to a point where we're like, okay. But I think now because of the bar that maybe Tiger has set, it's like we know when somebody gets a streak going, we're like, okay, like this may be something here, and we know to kind of maybe appreciate it a little more. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think there's a few, certainly in social media, which isn't real life by any means, but they almost try to force it too. You know, it's like, oh, it better be this thing. Otherwise I can't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a really, really cool time for pro golf in general. You know, I don't know what happened at Live Golf. I didn't watch this. Was there a thing? I mean, I guess we should be well-rounded and talk about Live Golf. Was there an event?
No, there was no event last. I think it's this week. They're in Australia right now. It's this week. It did not happen yet though.
Got it. Well, and to that end, just really quick, just to be objective, I guess. I mean, Bryson definitely impressed at Augusta for a lot of reasons. And it's interesting as we continue on this path of whether or not there's going to be an agreement, a merger, whatever. I think it's safe to say that he, Brooks, John Rahm, still three of the top golfers in the world. It's just, I mean, I'll admit it. I just think it sucks that we don't get to see them compete against Scotty right now. I mean, I think you want the best players. And this is taking nothing away from the Wyndham Clarks, Max Homas, and multitude of others, Colin, Victor, all of them that are still on the PGA Tour. I want to see Scotty beat Rahm. You know, that's just as a fan. I want to see that.
You said it yourself, Adam, offline to us this morning. How many of these would Scotty have in a row if Rahm was still playing on the PGA Tour this year? would he have gone four of his last five with that loss being a runner up, or would it not have been, you know, would he not be dominating right now if Ron was also playing? So the fact that you even had to ask that question and we're even talking about it right now just goes to show how much this divide sucks.
It does. It really does.
You're starting to sound like Taylor Gooch a little bit.
Oh God, there it is. There
I'm
it is.
Just saying, like,
no, well, listen, he's not playing in any of these. Don't
wins,
for everybody.
He's wins. Like, the people who were in the field were in the field. He won against the people who were there. Like,
hey, no argument here.
Of course, I agree with you, but that, I think it's more along the lines of the fact that we're even asking those questions. It just goes that it's just it kind of sucks that it's only happening in the majors right now. So.
I'm just glad John Rahm turned out to be a fan.
It would be more entertaining to see those guys play more often and not have to watch on the CW. But I don't think it's worth saying like, oh, well, would Scotty have this win? Yes, because he played against who he played against. Like the decision was made for them to not play in that tournament, so they're not like it is what it is, you know. I think if there ever is a merger moving forward and they play against each other again, then we'll see. But I mean, we saw them all play together in Augusta,
yep,
and we saw what happened. So
Scotty won there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Rahm filled his pants, but at any rate,
You think Rory's kicking himself for telling the Rom or telling Scotty on national TV to change his putter 2 months ago?
Listen, I mean, I don't know what Rory's doing right now. I was on our mutual friend Matt Lawrence's show, and we talked a little bit about the article that came out about the LIV rumor or whatever. Is Rory the mascot of the PGA Tour right now? Let us know in the comments, folks. I don't know. There's just so much that's going around this guy. I just want him to win. That's all. Just win.
I still feel bad for him because I don't think he's at the quote unquote mascot as much anymore. I feel like last season they were, I mean, yeah. You could see it. Even if you watch Full Swing, you could see it. You know, they were putting him on a pedestal and putting him, you know, out on like display and making him answer all the questions. And, you know, I think he put a stop to that to an extent, but I do think there's still like ramifications. I think because he was so out there, people just assume that he is still that voice and that representation. And so there's still some kind of trickle down effects that have happened regardless of whether they are making him be in that spotlight or not. And so I think there's still a little bit of that pressure that's on him. And I don't know. I think I said this before on an episode, but I think we're not gonna like see Rory win another big one until we all just kind of like leave him alone. One of those, like, if we're not looking, if we're all just like looking away, then maybe he'll like actually do something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably very true. Well, we're running up against the clock here, folks. Just as a reminder, you can follow all of us at Golf Unfiltered. You could also follow us individually. You'll see on YouTube our handles, but our names here, at least on X. I want to just draw attention to, you know, there is a lot of great writing that happens out there. It's very rare that you get to read something as good as what Nikki wrote called The Sign. It is on our website right now, golfunfiltered.com. Truly excellent piece, Nikki. I mean, I had the opportunity to read it before it got published in the back end of the website. I had to walk away at one point because it got me. And I won't spoil it if you haven't read it yet, but my wife read it as well later that evening and she slapped me. She's like, why did you have me read this? Cause she's like, got tears in her eye. And I'm like, it was so good. So if you're listening to this, and you haven't read it yet, go out. It's on the premiere or featured post up there. Congrats on that, Nikki. A lot of great thought into that. And you've got a knack of just kind of at least getting me to tear up. Good Lord. Give me a warning next time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said on the last episode, I think Augusta just kind of brings out some of those feelings in me. And one more thing I will say that I thought was mildly comical, I guess, in the article, if you have read it, but if not, not like a spoiler or anything. I do mention there was a couple of people that we had met like in line while we were waiting to get in on Wednesday, and just to kind of talk about how serendipitous it was that different people were kind of connecting over different things. And two of the people that we met while we were there in line, and they were talking about how it was their first time being there and they were so excited, and we were giving them some kind of tips on their day. A couple days later, my husband found a screenshot on just some Instagram page and he sent it to me. He goes, are these the guys that we met? We were in line. And I was like, oh gosh. Yeah. So they ended up, the two guys met online, if you're not watching on YouTube, they ended up on, some like merch haul Instagram page where they post all of their like massive merch hauls. And I don't know how they managed to get all this stuff, but they did.
They bought the whole store.
Yeah, geez. Yeah.
So congrats to those two guys. We never got their names, but congrats to those two guys.
Why do they need 25 gnomes? Like,
I don't know. Right. I don't even know how they got that many gnomes, but it's like I don't know.
Is that was that at least $100,000 worth of merchandise? Like, I don't even know how much they charge.
I mean, each gnome is $49.50, and then thinking polos are anywhere between like $110, $125, depending on if they're like Peter Millar. So then,
probably
t-shirts
are $1,000 or $30.
Yeah, like
my goodness.
Yeah, I don't want to know, but
no, that's obscene. That is quite yeah. the
add to cart. Wow, literally.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Over yeah. and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. On behalf of Nikki, on behalf of Dan, thanks everyone for tuning in again this week. We'll be back again next week with another show. As I said, be sure to reach us at social media at Golf Unfiltered, and we'll talk again very soon. Bye, everyone.